Blog Talk Radio.
You're now tuned in to OPM Live, where the ordinary is the extraordinary. I am your host, Verna V. Nickelberry, and tonight we will have an author by the name of Raven discussing her book entitled What Almost Killed Me Made Me. But as we wait for her to come on the line, I do trust that each and every one of you had a Merry Christmas and looking forward to a brand new year, 2016. And as we wait for our guest to come on the line, I would take a listen to a song by Crystal Sax Lady Brown. We spoke with her on last week. So we take another listen to her as she plays A Change Is Gonna Come as we wait for our guest to come on the line.
Thank you.
So do we have Raven on the line?
We do.
And how are you today?
I'm well, and yourself?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm doing fantastic. And welcome to our show.
Thank you.
Now, if you don't mind telling our listening audience a little bit about yourself or what you have going on, and I know we're going to be talking a little bit about your book entitled What Almost Killed Me Made Me. Talk a little bit about that. So if you don't mind just telling our listening audience a little bit about yourself.
Okay. Well, hello, everyone. I am Raven. As she mentioned, I have authored a book, What Almost Killed Me Made Me. It is my debut book, so my first one. I'm actually working on a few different other books for 2016, so I'm really looking forward to sharing and ministering and just using some of my testimony and the things that God has brought us through and just using it as life lessons and lessons learned to help others. And I'm just really excited about all the great things that God is doing for the What Almost Killed Me Made Me movement. It's definitely reaching and touching the lives of so many people all around the world because it is really a message of God's forgiveness and his unconditional love, as well as just deliverance and knowing that if it didn't kill you, it made you. So a lot in store.
Great. So tell us just a little bit of, about the book. Share some of you want to share some of your testimonies to how did the book come about? Just what brought it about? I can almost assume or don't want to say that something may have happened that brought this book about.
Well, many things happened. So really, the book, I never intended to really write a book. So it originated from me journaling and keeping like a diary and a journal in my younger years. I think around, probably started around 9 or 10 years old, where I just, it kind of expressed the things that I was going through, my thoughts and my feelings. And instead of going to family or friends, I chose to use writing and the written form as my therapy, per se. And so during that process, as I grew older, I started experiencing things from relationships and boyfriends and my father and just some life disappointments. And then things that I was dealing with as far as mistakes that I made from my own personal disappointments and things that I just chose to kind of do my own thing and figure it out, see what would happen, and then not always having the best outcome. And so as I just really poured out my true raw feelings and emotions into just my journal, over time, God really started dealing with me that that was a part of the process and that was a part of the journey for me. One, that was the therapy where I was able to pray and have devotion with God. And then also once he got me to the place that I needed to be in, he said, okay, now it's time and I want you to publish a book. I said, oh, okay. So I wanted to start writing on a book, working on it and things like that. And he said, no, I want you to take all of your journals, all of your diaries, unedit it, and really just compile it all together. And that's your book. And I don't know, like most people, if you could think about your own personal thoughts and emotions, I'm sure it's a lot of stuff that people would not choose to share, definitely not on a worldwide platform. And I said, well, God, are you sure? And he just was like, yes, Raven, you have to do it. He's like, but the only way you're doing it is if that it's unedited, it's your raw emotions, because these are the feelings that people are going through and situations that people are going through, young, old, men, women, children, in all parts of the world. These are real-life issues, and I want it to be unedited because life isn't perfect. Our lives aren't perfect. And the things that we've gone through, I'm sure if we could take this out, take this sentence out, remove this paragraph, for me, get rid of whole chapters, we would, but we don't, we can't do that. So he wanted it to be very vulnerable, very authentic, so that people would be able to relate. And I was not holding anything back. And then he was going to get the glory out of my story.
So when you say unedited, raw, and someone is reading your book and they be like, oh, for real? Oh, my goodness, I can't believe she put that in there. What is your reaction? Because I'm sure someone has come and said, oh, my goodness, I cannot believe you put that in there, Raven.
So,
I can't believe you did
so
that.
So true.
What is, I'm sure you know you have girlfriends like, oh, my God, I can't believe you did that. You actually put that in there? And then, so what is your reaction when that happened, when someone said it to you?
Absolutely. I definitely had those reactions, actually, to everybody that's read it. People that I, like family and close friends that know me personally, I had positive and negative reactions because some of the people that know me, they were like, oh, well, I didn't know about this and this and this. And so they actually questioned our relationship and our friendship because they felt as if you didn't share these parts of your life, even if it wasn't during their season in my life or things like that. They just felt as if I withheld information from them. And then you have others that felt as if I cannot believe that you were so open and so vulnerable and sharing it. And then it actually kind of broke down walls and barriers for other people because they were able to see themselves through it. And that to me was I think that was God's ultimate goal in it. So that it's not about pride. It's not about, because they'll read my bio, or if you're reading about, you know, all of the accolades and the academic things and career and all of that, when they look at the outside, but when they actually hear the backstory to just my life, and yeah, I may have been presidential scholar and graduating from high school early and all of that, but even during that time, what I was actually going through in my own personal life and my walk with Christ, their reaction is like, I can't believe you told it, but then they actually open up and tell some of the things that they said with their skeletons in their closet, or some of the things that they said they were going to take to their grave, but instead they chose to use it, and not as, because to me I was like, the book is a tell-all for myself, but I don't think you should use it for gossiping purposes, which some people have and will continue to do, but I really definitely believe that it's just a testament of what God can do in the most darkest, most embarrassing, most disappointing situations in our lives. He can turn all of that around for his good.
And that's so true. It's unfortunately that we're not able to share what's in our heart because of how others may view us or how it may be turned around into something totally different. But when you're able to share what's in your heart and someone can receive it and say, okay, I've gone through that, or I've been through that, you actually help someone. It becomes
correct
your testimony. And your testimony, we do know that our testimonies are not for us. They are for other people. But
amen.
To be able to totally share, you know, this is what I'm going through, and not be embarrassed about it, and knowing that God will get the glory in the end, is really refreshing. It helps a lot, and it'll help.
That's true, but it's definitely not an easy road, because sometimes it could be a lonely road. It could be a road where you knew that people probably look at you differently, but you also thought that certain ones would still always be there. And so you have to, and I think with anybody, with whatever your testimony is, it maybe not be used in a book. It could be just used as a one-on-one conversation with people, or some people may use it for their ministry and speaking engagements on larger scales, on smaller scales. But I think you just have to be prepared for the persecution that comes along with it, because I think that's a part of it. But the greater the sacrifice, the greater the blessing.
Yes. And it's as if when God gives you something or gives you a word, it's pretty hard. It's almost hard to share it because you know what God has said to you and what he wants you to do. And being able to share that, it's like you cannot share it because of the backlash, or be like, oh, no, God wouldn't tell you to do anything like that. But the word that God gives you is the word that he's given to you. And
That's
when he
so
said
true.
Raven.
That's so true.
I want you to do this. I want you to take all of your journals, and I don't want you to leave anything out. I want you to do it as is and compile a bio. I'm sure you did say, for real, Lord? Are you sure? I can only imagine.
Absolutely. I question God, and thing is, I think he gave me the word and the instructions probably in 2010 or 2011 is when he gave me the instruction. And I started it, but I just really, I don't think that I wasn't probably mentally, spiritually, or physically, or emotionally ready. I just wasn't at that place. And I had to still continue to go through some things which continue to add to the story, add to the testimony, and not get to the point of release for me was, I think, 2014 when I actually published the book. And when I published it was at one of the most, I would say, crossroads and pivotal times of my life where I got to the point where I said, God, I surrender all. I don't care who I lose. I don't care what I lose. I just want to be in your will. And in that moment, at one of probably the most trying times in my life, that was the moment where I just released it all to God. And I followed through. I literally published the book within a couple, because the book was already done. It was just a matter of me holding on to it. So I published it within a matter of days, and it was done. And to me, that was the most liberating moment and time of my life, because I knew, I said, okay, God, it's me and you. And that's where it has been from that day to this one.
That's when you get to that point where you say, okay, God, it's you and me, or okay, Lord, I am definitely going to follow your instructions. And it's as if, I don't want to, it's like the dam would just break loose at that moment.
Yeah.
And everything.
Because you have nothing to lose.
Everything seems to just come upon you.
Correct. Yes.
And so what do you do at that moment? What do you do at that moment?
He allows us to choose. He gives us the option of saying, are you going to walk and live and do in my will, or are you going to be in your own way? Are you going to do what you want to do in your will? He allows us to choose. He's that loving and that caring to say, I'm not going to force you to do anything. I'm going to let you know the plan I have for you, and then it's up to you to choose to take it up and go with it. Will it be easy? Probably not. Will it be worth it? Absolutely. And so it's just a moment that we all have to come to in our lives. And sometimes it takes that collision in our lives, or it takes this one situation that we're holding on to, if it's a person, if it's a career, if it's a child, it could be so many things for different people, but you have to say, okay, God, I'll offer it to you. This is my sacrifice to you. I offer it to you, and I have nothing to lose. I'm not holding on to anything, and I'm willing to go through in order for you to use me at my full capacity for your purpose to be fulfilled in my life.
Wow. I am willing to go through. That is definitely one you probably would fast on, go back and forth. Lord Jesus, Father God, I'm not ready. But you know what? It's the same when Jesus said, can you take this from me? This bitter cup from me?
Yes,
and then he says, but nevertheless, oh my God, I'm feeling that myself. Oh, but nevertheless, but nevertheless, and he goes through and he dies for us.
Yes.
I think about that whenever I'm going through. Like I always think of Jesus as being the judge. I mean, the our lawyer, and God is the judge, and said, "This is my beloved child." Oh, let me stop, because that gets me all hyped up, you know, and I'm trying to maintain. But
no, I use that scripture all the time when Jesus. I'm like, if we think about it, we're human, but the Father, the Son of the Father. He asked him, he said, God, if you would just let this cup pass from me. I'm sure any other cup, the people spitting on him, the people talking about him, saying he's not the king, you know, all of the stuff that he went through. He said, but God, if you would just let this cup pass from me. And so I think all of us have that this cup, we have that one thing that we're willing to go through a lot of stuff and go through stuff and all of that, but we have that one thing that we're like, God, just let this cup pass for me. But it's that's what yes. he wants.
And that is the pivotal moment when you mm-hmm. know that God has something great for you, because otherwise yes. the enemy is coming. I mean, he is coming with everything he got,
mm-hmm.
everything he got. And then you'd be like, Lord Jesus, why am I going through this? Why? And that's the same way Jesus was with us. You know, as he has to give up and has to pat and have to die for us, even before we even existed, before
I
we
know.
Even the apple of our parents' eye, he
mm-hmm.
knew that Raven was going to go through this. But this is my beloved child, Raven. Verna would go through this, but this is my beloved child, Verna,
mm-hmm.
and gave up the ghost for us. I mean, come on. So it is the
nevertheless.
Same. Nevertheless. You know, and it's
mm-hmm.
that part of the when I'm reading and I'm like, oh my God, I can't hardly get through it. I have to put it down and come back because I'm like, oh, don't they know who this is? Do they know who this
right.
is?
Right.
So
mm-hmm.
I can understand that. So Raven, it has definitely been a pleasure having you on OPM Live Blog Talk Radio. So at this moment, is there anything you would like to share with our listening audience? You can do that at this time. Any last words you would like to share with us? You can do that as
well. Sure. I would just like to encourage everyone during this time, because usually, you know, toward the end of the year and the holidays and all of that, it's just a trying time for a lot of people and just our country in general. But I just want us to just stay strong in our faith and always know that God, his love for us is unconditional, regardless of what we've gone through, our past, our present, mistakes, disappointments. All of it. He still loves us unconditionally. And so use everything that we've gone through for him to get the glory, because he will not waste any of our pain. So I might as well go ahead and use it if we've gone through it, and use it for his glory and to help others. That's the main thing. It's not just for us. Use our stories and our ministry to really reach others and help them during some of the most difficult times in their lives. And the main thing is that we were made for this. So we were made to fulfill our calling and the giftings that he has placed on our lives. So I just want to encourage everyone.
Thank you, Raven. We definitely appreciate all your encouraging words. And once again, thank you so very much for being on OPM Live Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for having me, Verna.
You're quite welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
We would like to thank our sponsors, Vimashi Enterprise, Southern Eagle Music Group, Prevolution Arts, and TND Marketing and Management. To advertise with us, please contact us at area code 901-308-4417, or you may email us at vernav@vmarshi.com. Leaving you with this coming from 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, 1 and through the 5th verse. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profit me nothing. Charity suffered long and is kind. Charity envy not. Charity vaunt not itself, is not puffed up, do not behave itself unseemly, seeking not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. This has been OPM Live, where the ordinary is the extraordinary. I am your host, Verna V. Nickelberry, and as always, love, peace, and increase, and be blessed. And closing with, change, a change is going to come, by saxophonist Crystal Sax Lady Brown.